Welcome to Catholic Radio Indy's Lunchtime Podcast Sampler. I'm Kent Blanford. Each week, we'll bring you a sampling of some of the best Catholic podcasts being prepared and shared out there on the internet. Catholic education provides many unique challenges. In our first offering on today's sampler, Zach Coyle, principal of St. Vincent de Paul School in Fort Wayne, Indiana, talks with St. Vincent de Paul Safe Environment Coordinator Jerry Schmidt on what safe environment is, looking at the church's commitment to the safety of young people and the serious efforts supporting this commitment.
Welcome to Spirit in the Schools, a show revealing the Holy Spirit through self-gift and education. And now, here's your host, Mr. Zach Coyle.
Spirit in the Schools.
Welcome back, listeners, to Spirit in the Schools, where we reveal the Holy Spirit through stories of self-gift and education. I'm your host, Zach Coyle, principal of St. Vincent de Paul in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Today's episode is titled Safe Environment, Peace and Faithfulness. It's a significant thing for an institution to look at itself and commit deeply to the health, safety, and peace of its constituents. And so for the Catholic Church to commit to the Safe Environment Program, we have a model that is doing exactly that, and I'm excited to hear more about it in our episode today. I'm actually thrilled to welcome one of our colleagues that I get to work with on a daily basis, so I'm excited to introduce Jerry Schmidt. She is our Safe Environment Coordinator as well as our Calendar Coordinator, which is a huge amount of work at St. Vincent de Paul. And so, Jerry, we are blessed to have you with us. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Zach. It's good to be here.
We are very excited. So actually, that was just for a quick sidebar, because I do think there's a lot of parishes that are really looking to build new life and new energy. And I constantly thank the Lord that long predating me, St. Vincent's has had that. So, you know, for a listener, it could be that, well, why would a parish need a calendar coordinator, you know? So just share a little bit about what does this look like for you? I mean, this is a huge amount of hours for you each week. What kinds of work are you doing with that?
Yeah, St. Vincent's is a very busy place, as you know. We have over 60 ministries and groups that regularly meet on campus. And so to avoid a collision and to make sure that the facilities are set up according to their needs, we have a calendar coordinator, I guess, and that's me. And everything that's scheduled on campus goes through my desk.
For you in your office, absolutely.
And I, you know, schedule accordingly.
Yeah.
We have a lot of...
just all kinds of ministries that I think of. And I'll tell you, Jerry, I actually didn't know that the number that was regularly meeting was 60. I would have actually guessed it was more like, you know, 40 or even 30 to 40. That is profound. And indeed, I mean, you could almost call yourself kind of like a traffic light then to avoid that collision. And and it works. You do a great job. And I have to commend you too. I mean, I can think of a few times these last years when it's been, you know, a group suddenly comes forward with a new need. Something happened and they have to get together and respond to something. Or it could be a funeral, you know, and of course that can't be planned. And so the family needs a space. And you're so kind to call and work with these 60 groups and sometimes others. Would you be willing to adjust, right? And we do.
Yeah.
Like,
and
there's so much
that.
Christian charity.
People are very
in that.
Accommodating, of course, especially in the case of a funeral.
Yeah.
Like you said, we can't plan ahead for those.
No.
And school has to adjust.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And when things come up at school that you need the Life Center for a presentation or last-minute meeting, we try to make it work.
Well, your depth of knowledge is great, because really, for me to even think through, like, sometimes the very nuanced details for me are not always my strong suit. So you'll know right away that, oh, there's a conflict here. I need to call this group.
Yep.
So anyway, just kudos to you for all the calendar coordinating, because that is a huge part of your job and you do a great job with it. I can say for my 2 years at St. Vincent's, I have never once, and I really just commend you for it, I've never once encountered a collision. But I have in other ministry, you know, in earlier walks in life in other parishes, because we didn't have that role and they were still big enough to have that collision happen. And that's tough when two groups show up thinking they each have the space.
Right.
You know, we're both trying to do something good for the Lord. But then you have this, well, who gets to actually do it now? You know, so
this
way
happens,
to go.
It happens once in a blue moon, but we try to avoid it.
No, you do. You do great. So, well, let's switch to safe environment. So just background, I'm going to ask you to kind of pick your brain. So you'll get to tell our listeners about what we mean by it. But it's a program to protect our children.
Correct.
Right. So like it's very basic.
Yep.
And the reason I really wanted to show to me where I see the Holy Spirit in this, anyone listening, we might have a great deal of Catholic listeners, we might have a great deal of non-Catholic listeners, but we get, unfortunately, so much negative media attention. And some of this, I say unfortunate, some of this actually is appropriate, needs to happen when there's been some kind of wrongdoing in the church.
Correct.
And of course, if you're a student of history, you know, you have a 2,000-year-old institution, there's plenty of examples of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that actually is appropriate, but people can get sometimes fixated. But what I think is absolutely God at work is when an institution says, we have a problem and we're not going to simply, you know, any number of wrong responses. Hide that problem, sweep it under a rug, ignore it, do nothing. We have, in this case, a deeply intentional way to say, we're not going to tolerate this because this is not in line with the teachings of Jesus Christ. Safe environment is, but the behavior, you know, necessitating to protect children from abuse, right? So I just think there's real beauty in the church saying, absolutely, we are going to serve Jesus Christ the right way. And if we found that human sin has been a part of the picture, we're going to respond to that with something very deep and meaningful. And it's that depth that I really want to speak to, yeah. Jerry. So thank you so much for joining us for that. You know, it's there's beauty in that. And I also think, too, just so many times, because all of our volunteers have to have this. So we'll tease all this out, listeners, in just a moment. You know, you can get that. Oh, you know, I got to renew. I got to go do the training. Oh, I've got to find time. And, you know, how am I going to fit that in? There is still, though, so much goodness at the heart of what we're doing here with Safe Environment that it's really worth reminding our own parish and our own listeners, mm-hmm. like, what are we actually committing to here to help serve Jesus Christ? And so we'll get to all of this. But Jerry, let's just kind of get right into it. So for a listener who's, what do we mean by safe environment? So other dioceses might have a slightly different wording for it, but what kinds of things are we working to do with our safe environment program?
Well, for safe environment in general, we hope to ensure that children and youth who worship and study or participate in activities sponsored by the parish can do so in a safe and secure setting.
Mm-hmm.
That's our goal.
Amen.
And so back in 2003, Bishop Darcy implemented the program with the USCCB
yes.
backing and the Charter of Protection for Children and Youth. And so that's what the diocese, that's the
groundwork. And that's that response I'm talking about, right?
That's the we have the, you know, we report to every year the USCCB
yes.
our program.
Like, let's just pause right there. That is beautiful. And a lot of our parents in our diocese may not know that. And some, it might again have a slightly different wording, but this is happening around our nation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a listener could pick this up around from another country. And if you are, USCCB is the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. So there, we are reporting back actually proof that we are, in fact, taking this charter to protect our young people,
mm-hmm.
not only seriously, but that it actually becomes part of our really our, in some sense, daily, but certainly our annual protocols for reviewing and our monthly and our weekly. So
it's
that reporting
daily
back,
for me.
It is daily for you. And that's a huge
yes.
amount of work.
Yes.
How many would you say? I mean, I don't expect you to know the exact number.
Oh, but, I know.
You have. See, this yeah. is great. This is why, Jerry, you
right
are just.
Right now, I have 1,042 active users.
That's amazing.
Employees and volunteers
wow.
at St. Vincent's.
1,042.
And that number may have gone up by a couple because I entered a couple people today. So,
yeah.
you know, and there's 1,400 archived users, which are employees and volunteers from St. Vincent's who are no longer active.
Sure.
So that's, you know,
that's
a lot
huge
of people
percentage of
that
the
have gone
parish.
Through the program over the years.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, glory be to God. Thank
yes.
you. So going back to the Charter for the Protection for Youth, you know, we now have this very robust program and safe environment. And I love your wording, Jerry, of keeping our children safe and secure, because there's, you know, a lot of times we might just kind of meld those words. Mm-hmm. They really mean different things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Safe is, of course, the condition of actually encountering the safety, but like that internal reality of feeling that you are at peace and, you know, not subject to any kind of wrongdoing, like that's security, right? So the secure
yes.
was just such a great word. But anyway, let's let our listeners know a little bit about, so we've started to say our volunteers will participate in safe environment training.
Yes.
Our employees, of course, participate in safe environment training.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes so much deeper for the Catholic Church and our Catholic schools, and that's something that I think is just worth celebrating. Our students themselves participate in this training.
Yes.
So I'd like to ask you a little bit more about all that. And of course, our priests do too. And I think that's something that it really could be that somebody wouldn't know. Like, our bishops are so serious about protecting young people that they've mandated priests to receive ongoing training, that this recurs every so many years. And it can be slightly different depending on where, how the students do it and how an employee does it or how a volunteer. But every very much embedded in the life of service, this training will be there, right? So tell our listeners, Jerry, if you would, just a little bit, what does the training consist of in terms of a volunteer or an employee? They're learning to prevent child abuse. Right. And so the training's done online.
Yes.
And so what types of things, I mean, we're talking about roughly about an hour for most people to complete. Does that sound right?
The initial training for volunteers is roughly an hour. It incorporates some of the initial training that was done previously to the diocese adopting and partnering with Catholic Mutual Group,
sure,
which
right.
is the company, you know,
provides it for us now
since June of 2018. And then every 2 years, training is required every 2 years for volunteers and employees. And each segment or each 2 years, it's a different training module. So you're not watching the same thing again.
That's important for someone to know,
and
too.
Yes. So you're not seeing the same thing over again. You're getting new material.
Yes.
And they discuss different
aspects of protecting children.
And I have spoken with people who have recently done a training in the second year or fourth year or whatever, and they're quite taken back by how they never thought of
what things to look for to protect children.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
And there I'll get into a term. I mean, it's not a fun thing to think about in one sense, but we absolutely need people to understand the concept of grooming, of how a predator tries to ingratiate himself or herself with a young person so that they can hurt them. And if we didn't give training on that, you know, there's so much within, I would think, probably any Christian church, but certainly within the Catholic Church, we believe the good. We assume the good. We expect, you know, that somebody's authentic, and yet human sinfulness is real. And so, you know, you can't forget that. And so learning about that helps other employees and other volunteers be alert for, is there a boundary being crossed long before somebody's actually physically harmed? But is there a boundary in the way the person is? And that's an important thing to learn about, right? So I just, again, I praise our church for saying, if we've had actual wrongdoing, and we have, if we've had actual suffering, and again, we have, we're not going to sit idly by. We're going to design a program to prevent this from happening to other people and get strong. And that's something I think that needs to be celebrated. So the 2 years, so there's always a new facet to it, right? That is profoundly good. And I would say the same for the students. You know, they receive training appropriate to their age.
Yes. Students that are ages 11 to 17, if they are going to be volunteering or working with youth, younger children, say in a daycare situation for an event or whatever, they too have to complete a modified version of Safe Environment. And that's what the diocese came up with, the code of conduct for youth working with younger children.
Yes.
So it's a one-page synopsis of guidelines of appropriate behavior for them and for the people that they're serving, the children that they're serving, as well as then a one-page application to fill out to be signed by the student as well as a parent.
Good.
And once I get that back, I will run a check at the National Sex Offender public website, which is a public, you know, website.
Separate, but for our use. Yes.
But I run that, and then it goes downtown, and they get put in the system, and they're
registered to volunteer.
Well,
and to add to that, so that's going to cover, you said, 11 to 17, but then even the grade school children themselves receive training on how to know to be safe themselves so that they can, because we have to realize, well, wait a minute, how does a five-year-old or six-year-old begin to know they're in an unhealthy situation? And at some level, there's some core cognition from the conscience that if something was happening, it wouldn't, the child themselves maybe could know that. But our church is going so much more, I think, boldly and more deep with this to say, we're actually going to teach them, again, very age appropriate. We're not going to be the ones introducing inappropriate themes, but to know how an adult should talk to you, to know what safe conversation and behaviors look like. And they learn that starting in the grade school years. That, to me, is something that absolutely deserves attention and celebration because, you know, I think there's many throughout the nation now, there's lots of, in the public schools, different types of programs to protect children, but it doesn't always reach the kids themselves. So I really compliment. Now, how much of that do you work with, really?
Because I don't. Yeah. That comes from the school, from the teachers, the school counselor, and the DRE.
Well, but the beauty, though, of the reporting back to the USCCB is that we do that,
yes.
Right?
And
you sign off on
the report, and it goes to the diocese in January or February or whatever.
Yeah.
And then that segment of it is done. My part, what I do, finishes at the end of the audit year, which is June 30th. So I'm coming up to a deadline here to get everybody screened.
Well, you're kind to come in with us today, Jerry. That's great. But just to say for a listener again, what we mean from the grade school component of it, we actually, as principals, have to verify that our teachers, and in our case, we're very blessed to have our school social worker who does this for us, mm-hmm. but it could be the teachers themselves, have actually completed this training. And there is an assessment in certain grades to even prove further, not only that the training has happened, but you can actually measure the students' learning of it. So there's just so much beauty to me in that. So one of the things, Jerry, too, so that people understand this commitment is real and that you're not an island. You know, if there's something that comes along, who are people who you can turn to for help to review, you know, if a background screen warrants closer attention, or if you need clarity on a policy or something, who are some of the people that support you in your work?
I turn to the folks downtown at the diocese, the Safe Environment Office.
Yeah.
Right now, that's Babette and Zielinski and Joe Garcia.
Sure.
And they always have the answers.
Yes, isn't that great?
So they're of great support.
And I know that in certain cases, because part of this is somebody's coming on board will also be the background screen, and you kind of referenced that earlier, but it might be the case that there could have been something that is in no way a threat to a child, but may not have been the best choice,
mm-hmm.
Or could not be a threat to a child. So here I'm thinking especially like a driving offense.
Right.
It could well be a threat to a child if that person is in the wrong place and if the child's, but it could be that that person has had some time to recover and if they're not driving, could still be serving as a volunteer another capacity. So there's an opportunity for principals and pastors to weigh in mm-hmm. and actually review a case and still have a gateway for somebody to volunteer. And I think there's goodness in that too, that we're as deep as looking at, okay, somebody had something in their life. This was obviously not the choice they needed to make. But where could there be an opportunity for grace in that type of circumstance? Yes.
Growth that's taken place over the years and here they are.
Right. Yeah. And the safety there though too. Like, mm-hmm. so yeah, certainly by policy, they're not going to drive anyone. Done. But mm-hmm. where can they come into the school and offer goodness and help?
Yes.
And I love that we have that opportunity. So mm-hmm. just, yes, I really did want to really ask you about some of these questions. And I really, again, I'm going to come back to this. The current database, if I had it right, was 1,042 registered. And you said you had about 1,400 archived users.
Correct.
And this is in a parish that I think on our books, Father Dan will say is about 12,000.
Mm-hmm.
But still, that is a significant, that's about 20% in some way working with youth. And if our diocese is crystal clear, and all dioceses are now, if you want to work with youth, you're going to have this training happen first.
Yep.
And, you know, it can be sometimes, you know, office staff, principals can sometimes say, well, it's kind of hard to have to tell a parent, well, hey, you can't volunteer today, you know, because you haven't done this. And that's not wrong to say, you know, it can be hard, but yet it's actually beautiful because it's saying, actually, our Catholic Church has affirmed that mm-hmm. we are not going to tolerate anyone who hasn't had this training coming into the school. And we're going to be unified by this. And we are not going to stand idly by and allow a problem that has been in the church in recent years to continue to be a problem. You know, that's to me, like, that's where you find the common ground. Like,
mm-hmm.
sure, mom or dad, obviously very disappointing. I am sure, again, believing the good, like in no way would you harm anyone, but yet we are together living this commitment.
Right.
And that has helped me build some buy-in to it. Like, yeah, you have disappointment in this moment. Anyone told, hey, you can't come in today. But that's also because we are communicating regularly. You do need the training. So if somebody hasn't, unfortunately, you know, maybe done their reading from the school emails or whatever, but that's especially if a family's new to a school, that can be a shocker. Like, oh, I actually have to have it done before I start.
Yes.
Well, yeah, but that way we're living more of the goodness of the Lord's plan for our school. So I just thought that was profound. And I can't help but think, I was blessed to have a homily. This was in the recent Easter season. And so this was actually a cathedral where one of the priests was giving this great homily. And so from scripture, Of course, I'm not going to quote the scripture completely right, but it was from the second reading. And so I think it was Peter, but I'll listeners, forgive me for not being the scripture theologian, but just to get to the point, what it talked about was, if it was Peter writing, always have a reason to share for your hope. Always be ready to speak to your hope in Christ in the resurrection. Always be prepared to share that. And so that was really what his homily was on, is that we should really take that seriously as Christians about where are we actually, if we meet somebody who says, well, why are you hopeful or why are you joyful? So his answer to me is coming right back to safe environment. He shared his three. He has three reasons that he talks about God. He obviously is a priest, you would hope, but you know, God exists. Mm-hmm. And he went through some of the proofs of God's existence, like booyah, you know, I love, okay, number one, you are hopeful. Number two, Jesus rose from the dead. There's too many lives changed. There's too many appearances. There's too many people who were willing to accept torture and death because the reality of God rising from the, you know, all of that. Okay, beautiful. And then third was exactly this, that he spoke to the history of the Catholic Church. And he said, if this was simply a human club, you know, some kind of like a sports club or some other secular institute, there's been too many attacks on it over 2,000 years, and there's been too much failing within that there's no way it could continue. But yet the Holy Spirit infuses and calls us to correct that and to grow, right? So like you think about the Christian journey, and this is to me where the Holy Spirit is in our safe environment. All of us are called to grow, you know, in our walk with the Lord. And so the Catholic Church, I think there's such a grace in the Christian life. I don't know if you've ever found, Jerry, sometimes somebody from another Christian tradition might say, well, why do you have confession? You know, that's not something our tradition has. And to me, confession is one of the most profound ways I feel the Lord's presence in my life, because God's saying, I am so happy that you're growing, right? That you've come to seek me. And so that growth for a person, I really see the church mimicking this in the safe environment that we've said, oh, the church in the modern era, staffing, I mean, 43 schools alone in our diocese, and you think about, I truly don't know the number of dioceses in our nation. I should. I believe it's 190 some odd, and I don't want to misspeak, but how many Catholic schools are operating right now? In the modern era, we need a program like this to know that we're growing. Mm-hmm. So now, Jerry, how many years have you been in the safe environment role?
Since the beginning, 20 years.
Now, that has to make you have some of the depth of vision, at least for our diocese.
Yeah.
I mean, are you aware of any other coordinator that served as long?
No, I don't, because I was there from the get-go.
Sure.
And
yes.
So it's...
Well, and this is a ministry that there's less common meetings. So like mm-hmm. for principals, we have periodic meetings throughout the
right.
year where we're together.
Yep.
But there's probably not been, at least in my time, a safe environment meeting in that same way.
Mm-hmm.
But what a testament of decades of service. Think about how many times, and we won't know these times, that this training just had someone pause and think about, yes, I am fundamental to keeping children safe. And whatever good came from that, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe it did prevent something that could have happened. But even if not, it helps deepen and recenter that commitment. I want our children to be safe and good and loved. And if they have that, then they can grow in their faith.
And it creates, you know, an awareness of their surroundings.
Yes.
With the children.
Yes.
And that someone may not have thought of before.
Yeah, and I love that there's just, even at a basic, some of the basic part of the training itself is healthy boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
There is so much in the modern world that truly breaks that down, that says we don't, you know, modern technology use, and there's so many things. I mean, I could go on a tangent there, and I really won't, but it can be very true that adults struggle, just any adult in any walk, with a healthy boundary,
mm-hmm.
right? So like actually taking time so the students understand that and the adults understand that is beautiful, you know, and that I don't know, the Holy Spirit had to be in it for knowing that that needed to be part of the training, because right. you can have somebody who doesn't actually mean harm, but hasn't been taught the appropriate boundary, right? And so some of that I do think is in your personality as a leader and as an educator, you know, you have that, but it's so profound that our church says, well, we're going to work with volunteers and people come from all walks of life, and we're going to teach them that healthy boundary, you know, right off the gate,
mm-hmm.
so. Thank you, Jerry. 20 years. That's truly amazing. Well, I do want to think from that, you know, you've probably had any number of times when somebody has called you to talk about safe environment. And I would have to think sometimes it's on that flip side when they're frustrated about, oh, well, I can't volunteer right now because, you know,
yeah.
mine's lapsed. I have to renew it. And I know that you've worked with me, and I so value your goodness in this, that, you know, staff need reminders, you know,
mm-hmm.
and so we have to help, you know, kind of spur that on sometimes. But I'm wondering, have you seen at any point in the road, somebody later say, you know, I did learn from this, or I am grateful from that. I mean, I think you mentioned that a little bit earlier in our podcast today.
Yep.
Does a story come to, not that you have to name anyone or anything, but have you had moments where somebody said, you know, I couldn't this time, and that was frustrating. But the more I think about it, I'm really glad that I had to stop and actually do this training.
Yeah, I just had someone 2-3 weeks ago finish the training.
Okay.
And she mentioned to me that she went to her granddaughter's event somewhere else at another school or whatever. And she was just, it was just in the back of her head what she had just learned and how, like I said, it creates an awareness for someone who had never thought of, you know, protection of children in, you know, boundaries and grooming and whatever.
Yeah.
And so she, you know, she said, I'm really glad I saw that.
Yes.
You know,
well, that to me has to be part of the joy of this work, right? That you can actually see somebody realizing, well, the need actually is real, that we're going to, everyone serving in our diocese is going to experience this training. And then, who knows? She could have been in another school, Northeast Indiana. Our diocese is very near Ohio, very near Michigan. She could be in another diocese, you know, wherever it would be. But that's beautiful. Well, and two, I thought about some advice. So, you know, any listener out there, we can have any number of times where a barrier might exist, right? You know, I mean, if their work was in another industry, those barriers would look different. But I do think for you, a barrier can be somebody struggling with, oh man, I have so many parents who are upset that, or staff, you know, I have to get this training done and everything. So just, if you were speaking to another safe environment coordinator and wanting to give them some good encouragement, what's a great way to help people in those moments, or tips for persevering, or that kind of thing, right?
You know, I received a lot of feedback from our former diocesan safe environment coordinator.
Yes.
And, you know, she was excellent at giving us safe environment coordinators the encouragement to persevere, that especially when COVID hit and everything kind of fell to the wayside as far as volunteers go.
Yes.
I mean, that everything kind of
a hard era.
That was a hard time. And just to keep us uplifted and thinking positive. And I think in general, for someone in this role, you have to be patient and you have to be kind and persistent.
Yes.
Because, and hopeful, because I can be looking at the same name over and over and over again and waiting and waiting and waiting for a response. And I'll walk in one day and turn on my computer and there it is.
And it's done.
You know, they saw the light and did what they needed to so that they can, you know, enjoy the benefits of being, you know, volunteering in the school or church or wherever.
Absolutely. I love those virtues you spoke to: persistence, kindness, hope, right?
Yeah.
You know, and there's ministry that really requires that. You know, I think authentic Christian growth requires all of the virtues, but certain ministries require others, right? More than some of them more than others, I should say it that way. And indeed, I do think you need that persistence, and I do think you need that hope, you know, and of course, kindness. Yeah, I think that's fundamental, you know, that we think, well, this is ultimately not a huge burden to complete, you know, if it's an hour of somebody's life.
It's so funny because I'll have one person complete everything within 24 hours, and then others, you know, is days, months, weeks, whatever.
And there's some commentary in the modern society that we're all so over inundated with information that it can seem to some that an hour actually is this mountain, you know, and it's like, wait a minute. This role that you're living so well is actually about establishing our priorities, right? So like our priority first in any form of working with the kids. So this, we're speaking about from the schools, but this is youth ministry. This is, I mean, anything involved in the kids. Our priority is Jesus Christ, and we're going to keep them safe and we're going to keep them secure. And I love that you open with that. So thank you for your persistence, Jerry. Yep. That's so good. Well, I'll tell you, we love to end with a prayer because, you know, one of the things we would ask for in this prayer would be God's blessing on this program. But I think it's just a time to ask all of our listeners to celebrate them listening today and ask God's blessing on them as well. So, Jerry, would you join me in a prayer for all of our safe environment coordinators and for listeners today? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, I really do want to thank you for all the good that Jerry does. And I want to thank you for the good that our Catholic Church stands for in establishing this safe environment program. And so I would ask your blessing on all those who coordinated, that indeed the persistence needed, the kindness needed, the hope needed would only grow in them. And Lord, bless our families. All of this work is about our families encountering your goodness, love, and safety. And so may that reign supreme, and may we know you in all forms of service, particularly today through our safe environment work. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jerry, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Zach.
It was really a joy. And listeners, tune in next week for more Spirit in the Schools.
You've been listening to Spirit in the Schools. Zach Coyle has been your producer and host. This episode was edited by Tony Marks. And for more information, go to spokestreet.com/spirit.
Spirit in the Schools.
This podcast is part of the Spoke Street Network. For more great podcasts, visit spokestreet.com.
You're listening to the Lunchtime Podcast Sampler on Catholic Radio Indy. I'm Kent Blanford, and we'll be back with more on the vital role of Catholic education right after this.
For a long time, we've been telling you that if you have an Echo Dot or other smart speaker device, you can hear Catholic Radio Indy simply by saying, "Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy." Just the other day, I did that, and Alexa was feeling a bit argumentative. I'll let you hear my conversation with her. Alexa, where are you?
Here I am. What do you want?
Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Now, just why would you want me to do that?
Well, because we've got great programming 24 hours a day.
Well, a lot of other radio stations have good programs, too.
Yeah, but our programming talks about God and eternal salvation.
I am very smart. I know almost everything about everything, but I do not know about God and salvation.
Well, that's why people need Catholic Radio Indy. So, Alexa, do me a favor. Whenever anyone says, "Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy," just send them our way, would you?
Yes, I will be happy to do that. In the meantime, I am going to do some research about that thing you called salvation. I wonder where I can find out more about that.
Learn more about the Catholic faith in a fun, exciting way. It's Catholic Challenge 2.0. Test your Catholic knowledge with questions like this.
In the 14th century, this city in France was the headquarters of the papacy. Was it Paris, Marseille, or Avignon?
Answers to this and more with Catholic Challenge 2.0.
Catholic Challenge 2.0 every Thursday afternoon at 4:30 on Catholic Radio Indy.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
The first radio station signed on back in the 1930s. And wow, people could get news without having to wait for the next day's newspaper and hear great entertainment right in their living rooms. But then in the late 40s, television came along. And since it could add visual content, well, that would probably kill off radio. But it didn't. In the 70s, satellite radio, 8-track tapes and cassettes, and the Walkman came along. Surely one of these would kill off radio. But they didn't. Now there's streaming on computers, podcasts, Alexa, and smartphones that put the world at your fingertips. And you know what? Radio is still here. In fact, a recent survey of people aged 18 and up showed that on a monthly basis, radio reached more people than television, including time-shifted TV. And for audio programming, more people than smartphones, PC, Alexa, or tablets. When you support Catholic Radio Indy, you're supporting a powerful tool that has the potential to reach over 1 million people every day with the message of salvation. If you're one of our donors, thank you very much. If you haven't joined our family of donors yet, today would be a good day to do that. Just go to CatholicRadioIndy.org and click on the donate button. That's CatholicRadioIndy.org. And thank you for your support.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy. Converting the Culture to Christ Through Radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
The coming school year isn't all that far away, and as teachers, students, and parents all gear up for the beginning of the school year, we'd like to share this offering, featuring a Throwback Thursday podcast from the Busted Halo Show. This episode features Dr. Thomas Burnford of the National Catholic Education Association, as he and Father Dave Dwyer discuss the importance of a Catholic school education and the success of the nearly 2 million children who attended Catholic schools every year.
Hey, I'm Father Dave Dwyer from Busted Halo. And if you've never heard the Busted Halo radio show on SiriusXM Satellite Radio Channel 129, you really should take a listen. For subscription information, go to SiriusXM.com. But in the meantime, here's something we talked about on a recent show.
Guest is the Secretary for Education for the Archdiocese of Washington and also the current president of the National Catholic Education Association, Dr. Thomas Burnford. The NCEA is the largest private professional education organization in the world, representing 150,000 Catholic educators serving 6 million students in Catholic elementary and secondary schools, in religious education programs, in seminaries, and in colleges and universities. And we're here to talk about National Catholic Schools Week. Welcome to the Busted Halo Show, Dr. Tom Burnford.
Thanks so much, Father Dave. A privilege to be on the show.
So you're in the Archdiocese of Washington, and you have done a bang-up job there, but also I understand they wrangled you in to be in charge of the whole country.
Yeah, I wouldn't quite put it that way, but absolutely. Happy to be the interim president of NCEA, supporting those who work so hard to give a great Catholic education to kids in Catholic elementary and high schools across the country.
So I would imagine that people, when they think of Catholic schools particularly, which is what we're celebrating, not only Catholic Schools Week, but today is National Appreciation Day for Catholic Schools, they typically think of your Catholic elementary and maybe middle schools and whatnot. But the organization, the National Catholic Education Association, even spans up into the college level and graduate seminaries, right?
Yes, we do most of our work with elementary and high schools, and we associate very closely with the Association of Catholic Colleges and Universities, whose primary focus is support of the 200 or so Catholic colleges and universities. But really, the bottom line is we're into just providing to support to anybody who's in the ministry of Catholic education and catechesis and just proclaiming the word so people can come closer to the Lord.
Well, tell us a little bit about your experience, particularly in the Archdiocese of Washington, because I know there's been a lot of growth within the Catholic schools in the Archdiocese. And by growth, I don't just mean, hey, we got more or we got more kids, but ways in which it becomes more accessible, a Catholic school education becomes more accessible to normal everyday folks, both affordable as well as opportunity. But also, there's been a move, I think, under your tenure to have more of a Catholic identity within the schools. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. The mission of Catholic schools is to create citizens, but not just great citizens for this life, but citizens of heaven. So it's a twofold mission. We're forming the whole student so they can have a great life and be a productive citizen and live a moral and faithful life as they grow up. But also beyond that, we want to get kids to heaven. So that's the goal. And Catholic schools are different from public schools in that we have a different goal because we're focused on faith formation and getting kids to heaven. And also, to be frank, we educate the whole kid, spirit, mind, and body. And that spirit piece, you know, doesn't factor into the work of public schools. So that's what we're about. The challenge, of course, is doing that in a way that is affordable to parents. So we work very hard in Washington and across the country to help parents, particularly young parents who've, you know, got younger kids and want a Catholic education for them. So we go out and we raise funds for tuition assistance. Parishes are very generous, and we do the best we can to make it work and help families. And we're seeing great response in that area.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Tom Burnford is our guest here on the Busted Halo Show on National Catholic Schools Week. Do you hear, now that you work not only within the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C., but also with this national organization, do you hear a fair amount of feedback from folks either currently in Catholic schools or those who are the product of Catholic schools? Positive, negative? I would imagine people, like, anytime I talk to Cardinal Dolan right here in New York, he is a huge fan of Catholic schools.
Absolutely. People love Catholic schools, particularly the kids in them. I got three kids in Catholic school.
I would hope so.
They're dying. You know, my girl Lucy is dying to go to school tomorrow because tomorrow is like Student Appreciation Day. So there's all sorts of fun activities for the students tomorrow, while at the same time they're preparing for Friday, which is Teacher Appreciation Day. So a really fun week in Catholic schools. The parents love it. They appreciate the incredible work of the teachers, Catholic school teachers, about 150,000 of them, are super dedicated. So there's a lot of positive, and we're seeing that, you know, schools are growing around the country. And we got a superintendent, Kevin Baxter, out in California, who's really got me thinking about this phrase, a growth mindset, because we need to think in terms of growth of Catholic schools, because they're such a gift to the country, such a gift to parents. And we got to think that way and work hard and tell the good news about what these schools do, not just for Catholics, but for non-Catholics, for the country and for everybody. So, yeah.
Well, you're getting a lot of love on social media because we posted earlier today, and you know who loves Dr. Burnford? You know who loves social media as our Pope
Francis. Social media.
He loves Pope Francis. Loves social media. But we posted earlier today that not only was it Catholic Schools Appreciation Day, but that you were going to be on the show. And boy, our Facebook page was burning up just with people love Catholic schools. So I'm going to give you a couple of these. Sabina says, I went to Catholic schools from first grade through college. Uh-huh. My daughter did not go to Catholic grade school, but she's currently a senior at the same high school that I went to and will be attending the same Catholic college I attended. That was her choice, not mine. In the case of the high school and college, and based on my experience as a student and a parent, I feel Catholic schools do a much better job of teaching the whole student. They learn so much more about discipline, community, spirituality, and faith. So she said, the high school that I went to, their motto was, teaching scholars with a soul. I just love that motto, she says.
That's beautiful, yeah.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about teaching the whole student. Do we not find that in public school education, or is it hit or miss like some public schools would?
No, well public schools, I mean, because of the way we're set up in the United States, and I'm from England, by the way, where it's different, but now a citizen of the United States. You know, we got separation of church and state, so public schools will not form the spirit of a student, will not teach the faith. So, you know, they do a great job of, to be frank, educating most of the kid.
Right.
But a Catholic school, and we've been doing this in a Catholic church for a couple of thousand years, is going to educate the whole person. And, you know, Catholic identity is at the heart of that. And
Even just what Sabina was saying, she's saying some of the things you would think aren't exclusively the area of religion. For instance, she mentions, boy, I learned so much more about discipline and community. Why do you think those things don't appear outside of Catholic education? I mean, because discipline is not uniquely a religious quality.
No, it's not. And we see some charter schools who use, to be frank, Catholic techniques and discipline, you know, and they're copying us, and they're copying, you know, the uniforms and all this stuff. But what they don't have is they don't have the prayer. They don't have the celebration of the sacraments. They don't have teachers who witness to the gospel. And by teachers, I don't just mean the religion teachers. A Catholic school has faith in every aspect of the school, from the way the sports teams relate to one another, to the way, as was mentioned by the lady who wrote in, discipline, in the teaching of math. It pervades the whole environment. And Pope Benedict came in 2008 in Washington, D.C. He addressed Catholic educators. He said that every Catholic institution, including schools, is a place to encounter the living God in the risen Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Every aspect of a Catholic school is designed to witness the faith. And, you know, we write policy in the Archdiocese of Washington to cover every area of the life of the school and say, how is this, every area, authentically Catholic? And that's what makes it work.
Well, we're speaking with the current president of the National Catholic Education Association, Dr. Thomas Burnford. He also works within the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C. We're talking about National Catholic Schools Week, and today there's different daily themes all week long. Today's theme is National Appreciation Day for Catholic schools. Tomorrow, vocations, Saturday, families. Of course, Friday is your teacher and principal appreciation day. So right. Are they going to get some flower, you know, little gifts?
Yeah, in my school, they do a full-on English tea for all the faculty served by volunteer parents. So, you know.
No, did you have something to do with that?
I didn't. No, that was actually been a long-standing tradition before my time, though I do like my cucumber sandwiches.
Those little with the crust cut off and all that.
Those are fun. White bread.
Well, let's talk about when we put it out on our Facebook page, we asked people that were either involved in Catholic schools, what were their favorite parts, their joys, and what did they see as some of the challenges? So I want to ask you a question that came from one of the parents.
Sure.
He says, this is from Mike, and he says, I'm the product of Catholic education, and our three children are going through the system that I went through. It's been great for them. It's a safe environment where the values we teach at home are reinforced, and I definitely see a difference in behavior between my children and the kids who attend our public schools. But the biggest challenge is rising tuition costs. Whereas I was taught by nuns and priests and brothers, my kids are all taught by lay professionals. Salaries are higher, and costs to attend Catholic schools have risen faster than inflation. What can our diocese do to help curtail the rising cost of Catholic education and make it more affordable?
Yeah,
that's from Mike. That's from Mike.
Father Dave, Mike's question is a big question, and a current and very real question for families. But you know, obviously, families with young kids who have increasing costs and want this Catholic education. So there's a number of initiatives in place. We have donors and people who have resources who understand the value of Catholic education. And so dioceses build their own foundations to provide funds to families based on need to go to Catholic education. There's the Big Shoulders Fund in Chicago. There's the Extra Mile Foundation in Philly. In Pittsburgh. There's another one in Philly. There's one in Washington, the Monumental Scholars Fund. So fundraising at the high-level donor, and then also parish fundraising. We also see more and more creative ways for parishes without schools to support parishes with schools. And in Washington, we got some creative models there so that funds can go from all Catholics to support tuition assistance. But Father Dave, we got to talk about the fundamental justice issue here.
Yep.
And that is school choice, parental choice issues. We now have 28 states in the United States, in the country, where some tax dollars go to help families afford private school education. And that's just because those tax dollars come from everybody, right? Everybody pays taxes.
Right.
They
right.
go, taxes for education go into a pot, and everybody uses them. But guess what? They only go to support kids in public schools in most states. And that's just plain old unfair. Because you know what? My kids go to Catholic school, and they're the public, right?
They are the public,
They are the public. And my taxes go into this big pot. So why shouldn't my kids benefit from them? And, you know, for the education. And so that's the fundamental injustice that we've got to wrestle. I had the privilege of going down to Capitol Hill today and speaking to some congressmen and congresswomen. And who the ones I spoke to understood this and are working hard to try and say, let's look at this. Let's look at how we can have parental choice, because parents know what's best for their kid. They know which school is best. For some kids, it's public school. For some kids, it's Catholic school. For some kids, it's another school. Parents know, but they've got to be able to make that choice. And the way that they can make that choice is by having the funds that come from everybody be available to everybody who wants to choose a Catholic school or whichever school they want. That's the nut we got to crack. And there's a wave going around the country. 28 states is a lot. And we're getting more states every year. So that's a key element.
Well, and when you mentioned justice, in Mike's question, he hints at the thing that perhaps a lot of people look past, and that Catholic schools a few decades ago, even in his generation, would have been priests and nuns and brothers who, because of their vows and their dedication to the church, quite frankly, weren't working for very much. And yet today, when we've got people at a master's and doctoral level who are teaching in classes and running as principals, we have to be fair and and just and pay a living wage and hopefully shake that reputation that Catholic schools have among teachers. Like, well, you know, if you want to make money, you got to teach in public school. If you really want to be passionate about your faith, you take a big hit and you work in a Catholic school. We should be able to get the best teachers and to provide a living wage for people to be able to do that. And the things that you're talking about hopefully will help that. You've been modest and only breezed over the Archdiocese of Washington. So I will point out that in your very diocese, in less than 10 years, you and Cardinal Worrell worked to increase tuition assistance to Catholic schools from $800,000 to $5.8 million for tuition assistance. So that goes a long way.
That does go a long way, and that's Cardinal Worrell's worked very hard on that, and that's come from parishes, it's come from donors, it's come from wise investments, and that really helps. But, you know, the total need, when all the parents who apply and want to go to Catholic school, that's close to $50 million a year. So we got a long way to go. So we're working hard on this, and the school choice and parental choice issues are at the heart of it. But there's lots of good news out there that we're seeing because people see the value of a Catholic education. You know, they see it.
Well, and something that is sometimes people are surprised to hear, that people see the value of a Catholic education in addition to those who are Catholic. There's a lot of people in our Catholic schools who don't have that as their faith tradition, who still see the value of the Catholic school education.
Yeah, about 20% of all kids in Catholic schools are not Catholic.
20%?
Everyone's welcome. Yep. Come on in. There's great schools that'll give a great moral foundation. And we'll provide, you know, the country with future leaders and great citizens who have a moral compass, great academics, good social skills, and a sense of community.
Well, so, as a matter of fact, our sound engineer here on the show, Kia, she is a Pentecostal. Her grandmother is a preacher. She's a minister. And yet your mom, she put you in Catholic school.
Yep.
So you would go home to your family and go, I learned the Hail Mary today. They'd be like, what?
They'd be like, make sure you're saying Hail Jesus, okay? Small little qualms, but definitely
little,
paid
little
for
qualms.
It.
There's Kia up in the Bronx going to Catholic school. As a matter of fact, we often joke about this, Dr. Tom, is that if we don't count my seminary years, Kia actually went to more Catholic schools than I did because I was pretty much a public school kid.
That's great. Yep.
So thank you for it. What can some of our listeners do to either celebrate, honor, or in other ways learn about Catholic schools during this National Catholic Schools Week?
Well, there's practical tips and ideas on the NCEA website, which is ncea.org, which is a National Catholic Educational Association Award. And look out for your local Catholic schools because they're all doing service projects this week, whatever it is. I was out in Morgantown, West Virginia, at St. Francis Central Catholic the other day, sorting carrots into bags for the local homeless shelter, working with 400 kids there. We produced a whole bunch of bags to keep to provide some lunches for the homeless. So tons of good work is going on in Catholic schools. Look at your diocesan website. And also, you know, for young adults, I've seen service projects by young adults for Catholic schools to be hugely successful. There's companies and offices who'll say, you know, we want to do some service. Let's go do a day of painting over the summer in our local Catholic school, for example. And there's also need for mentoring as well and working with students. So plenty of opportunities, particularly for young adults, to help out. And ultimately, think about being a Catholic school teacher. It's a profession, it's a commitment, and it's a vocation. So, and a great vocation in that. Once in a while, we'll see a teacher who goes off to public school thinking they're going to make a lot of money, and they come back 6 months later. So, because the environment of a Catholic school is a great place to work. So,
and they probably weren't making that much more money.
No.
Right. No. Dr. Thomas Burnford, I'm just trying to picture you sorting carrots, like the big ones from the small ones. What exactly was the?
It was taking huge bags of the pre-washed carrots and putting four in a bag.
Oh, I see. All right, I got
four
in a bag. You get four
in a bag. Yep. And then competing with a bunch of seventh and eighth graders to see who could make the most baggies quickly.
Oh, nice. Okay,
and, gotta make it a game.
I got big hands, so I was slow, but it was fun.
It's called the gamification. of service projects.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much. It is ncea.org, the National Catholic Education Association, ncea.org. Dr. Tom Burnford, thanks a lot for joining us here on the Busted Halo Show.
Thanks so much, Father Dave.
Appreciate
it.
God bless. Say hi to Cardinal Worrell. He's a good friend of the show.
I will, absolutely.
We look forward to his next book probably a week from now. He's always churning out those books.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
That's all the time we have for Catholic Radio Indy's Lunchtime Podcast Sampler for today. You can find this show in podcast form at CatholicRadioIndy.org, along with links to more of the programs we've shared. I'm Kent Blanford, and until next time, may God bless.
Did you miss something in this show or just want to hear it again? Podcasts of this and all our other great local programs are available 24/7 at CatholicRadioIndy.org.